Following Tuesday's primary election, two candidates for the Wisconsin Supreme Court head into campaigning for the general election set for April 4. Milwaukee County Circuit Court Judge Janet Protasiewicz won 46.5% of the vote, and former Justice Daniel Kelly garnered 24.2%. They each spoke at their election night parties, focusing on the primary topic in this race and likely to come before the court, abortion.
I can't tell you how I'll rule in any case, but throughout this race, I have been absolutely clear about what my values are. And that's because I believe the voters of this state deserve to know what a candidate's values are. I value a woman's freedom to make her own reproductive health care decisions.
This is going to be an election like no other. Tonight, we join battle in the fight to preserve our constitutional form of governments against a novel and grave threat. Janet Protasiewicz's promise to set aside our law and our Constitution whenever they conflict with her personal values cannot be allowed to stand.
The high-stakes race only gets more attention from here. We turn to senior political reporter Zach Schultz, who joins us from the state capitol with more. And hi, Zach.
Hello, Fred.
So was this the primary election outcome that was expected?
Well, I don't think you can be really too surprised, certainly not on the liberal side. Janet Protasiewicz had the most money. She had the first commercial on the air. She had really consolidated a lot of Democratic support around her campaign pretty early on. The other liberal Dane County judge, Everett Mitchell, tried hard to get some of that support, and he had a few people, but he never had the money to get his name out there. So seeing Janet Protasiewicz advance is not surprising. Maybe the margins for some people might have been surprising. On the Republican side, we knew all along this is going to be a very close margin. And it kind of goes against your conventional thinking, but the outcome here may fit, even though Jennifer Doro may have been the favorite ahead of time. And that's because we saw both Daniel Kelly's campaign, outside interest groups, and some liberals all attack Jennifer Doro to try and knock her down and take her out of the race, all for different reasons, but getting the same result of advancing Daniel Kelly. On his part, because obviously he wanted to win, on the liberals' part, because they thought Daniel Kelly would be a much more favorable matchup for Janet Protasiewicz in the general election. So even though she might have been favored ahead of time, this outcome's not terribly surprising, and the margin was so narrow that you could see it did come down to the end.
So Tuesday's election saw record turnout for a Supreme Court primary. What did turnout look like across the state?
Well, it varied across the regions, and in some parts of the southern and, you know, more populous areas of the state, there was really high turnout. As you got to the northwest corner, there was lower turnout. And some of that fits with the conventional thinking of how these campaigns work. We're talking February 21st, the middle of winter. Generally, there's not a lot of attention paid, and this was really driven by advertising. How much did people even know that, one, there was an election, and two, that it was this important? And so there isn't, it's harder to penetrate northern and northwestern Wisconsin with advertising dollars in the same way you can blanket southeast Wisconsin and southern Wisconsin and Dane County. So it's not terribly surprising. Plus, in Madison, you had a contested mayoral primary. In northern Milwaukee, you had a contested primary on the Republican side for a special election in the 8th Senate District. So all those things kind of conspired to drive turnout in more populous regions.
Did anything stand out about partisan voting patterns?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm not the first person to point out that there is definitely a split across the state in Republican voting trends. And we've seen this happen time and time again over the past 10 to 15 years, where southeastern Wisconsin, especially where southeast Wisconsin talk radio dominates, has a different opinion of who they favor in a primary versus outstate northern rural Wisconsin. And it used to be southeastern Wisconsin was enough to dominate. That's how Scott Walker won his primary way back when to become the governor. That's how Rebecca Clayfish became lieutenant governor. But over time, that has shifted, and it's actually been playing out more and more that the rest of the state, outstate and rural Wisconsin, for Republicans, actually can outnumber southeastern Wisconsin. We saw this again. Jennifer Doro's area of support was all in the Milwaukee suburbs, in that area where talk radio really had endorsed her. But Daniel Kelly just was close enough there, and he really beat her pretty handily in the rest of the state, and that was enough for him to win by just a couple percentage points.
So former Justice Kelly lost his last election for Supreme Court. Does that mean he's vulnerable here?
Well, Democrats certainly think so. That's what they wanted to see. But in reality, we've seen lots of candidates historically across Wisconsin run after losing an election and try again. And the message that may or may not win the second time is not that we've rejected them before, that they've lost an election. It's that people know what their vulnerabilities are because they've polled against them in the past. So in this case, Daniel Kelly will point back to 2020 as saying there was a presidential primary on the same ballot, and he lost because Bernie Sanders and Joe Biden had a contested primary, and on the other side, Donald Trump wasn't contested. And he says that's the majority of the margin. So really, this is a completely different race. We shouldn't look to that as the roadmap for what may happen here because we don't have the same circumstances.
Do you feel like there's any lingering effects from the kind of infighting in the Republican primary between Jennifer Darrow and Daniel Kelly?
Well, that remains to be seen, and that's something that Republicans are certainly watching and Democrats would like to take advantage of if they can in any way, shape, or form. We saw a similar thing play out along the same lines last summer when Tim Michaels won the gubernatorial primary among Republicans, beating Rebecca Clayfish and attacking Clayfish heavily and investing in ads beating her in that. And Clayfish and her supporters weren't happy about that, and there really wasn't that unifying moment that came afterwards. And in this time around, we saw Daniel Kelly saying he would not support Jennifer Darrow if she was the one to advance. He refused to endorse her before this. Jennifer Darrow said that she would endorse Kelly, and she has since then, saying the Republicans need to unify around him. But there may still be Darrow supporters who are a little miffed about the idea that Kelly wouldn't support their person going forward. Mm-hmm. So whether that fracture maintains and exists, or if Republican Party certainly wants to maintain the idea that the April 4th primary is more important than any fractures that may have existed before, but that's something to be aware of as we're going forward in this campaign.
Super quickly, spending in this race is expected to be stratospheric. Do you know what the projections are and who's giving?
Well, we're looking at least $20 to $40 million. It's going to be closer to past gubernatorial elections than anything we've seen in the Supreme Court. A lot of outstate, a lot of special interest money.
All right, Zach Schultz, thank you very much.
Thanks, Fred.